This morning is Easter Sunday, and we want to think on the subject of the mystery of resurrection power. One of the most used plants on Easter in churches is the Easter lily. When you think about the Easter lily, first there's the bulb or the seed. It's placed in the ground, and then it sprouts and grows into a plant, and then there's the beautiful bloom. Now, how does all this happen? Well, it's a mystery to us, but God made it so. God is able to take the seemingly dead and make it grow. God is able also to take the unattractive and make it beautiful. But more than that, He's able to take what is dead and make it alive. This morning we want to think on this mystery in three different areas. In Christ's resurrection, which is past, and then in our resurrection, which is future, and then in our salvation, which is present. First of all, let's think about in Christ's resurrection, the mystery of Christ's resurrection. In Matthew 28, 1 through 7, we read, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers or the guards did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." And then notice verse 7, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." Now Jesus had been shamefully and cruelly treated before. And then he was put to death on Calvary's cross. And he was laid in the tomb, and it was sealed by a great or large rock. Early on the first day, there was a great earthquake. The angel of the Lord came and rolled the stone away from the door, and the women had come to the tomb to see the tomb, and they were worried about, "I wonder who we can get to roll the stone away." Well, the angel was there sitting upon the stone that had covered the tomb, and he showed the women where Jesus had laid, and then told them, "Go, tell the disciples." And so John 20, 3-8 tells us that they ran to the upper room where the disciples were meeting. And Peter and John came from there and ran to the tomb. And they went into the tomb. And it says that John saw and believed. Well, what did he believe? That Christ had truly risen, as the women said. Well, what convinced him? Well, in the tomb, they saw the linen clothes lying. And they weren't unwrapped like someone had come and unwrapped the cloth from around that had been wrapped around the body. It wasn't unwrapped and then laid in a pile or something or thrown around. It was laying on the stone, just perfectly as Jesus had been laying, still wrapped, only now it was empty. There wasn't any body in the cloth. It was just empty cloth that had just sunk down with no body in it. And there was only one way that that could have happened. Jesus had to rise from the dead, just like the angel told the women, like Jesus had told them before. And so Jesus rose from the dead. He left the cloth behind, and he's a risen Savior. He simply departed from his grave clothes. And what a mystery that is. But praise the Lord, it's true. Christ is truly risen, and we have a living Savior. Secondly, we want to think about the mystery in our resurrection, which is yet future. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52 say this: "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die and be put in the grave, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now, one day, perhaps soon, but one day, Christ is going to return for the believers, and there's going to be a shout. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 18, describe this for us. It says there's going to be a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God is going to blow. And then every believer who has already died and is in the grave is going to be raised up out of the grave into a new glorified body. And then every believer, every one of us, and if it happens while we're still alive, we're going to be changed into new glorified bodies, and we're all going to meet the Lord in the air. And Christ's resurrection assures us of this taking place. We notice in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23, it says, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, or the one that's resurrected first, and afterwards they that are Christ or belong to him at his coming." Now, when a sinner receives Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within our body. And that one who dwells within our body is he who raised Christ's body from the grave. He shall also quicken us. He shall make us alive. And at that day, every grave of a Christian will be emptied, and every living Christian yet will be changed. And all of us will be given new glorified bodies. Yes, the same power that raised Christ from the dead shall raise us and change us and give us new glorified bodies, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then thirdly, we see the mystery in our salvation. And we see in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, "And you hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," who's Satan, "the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conduct in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath, or deserving wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. You see, all of us were spiritually dead in our sin. But when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are given new life. We are made alive in Christ. Now, notice what we read in verse 5, that Christ's resurrection assures our salvation. Because Christ is a living Savior and rose again, that assures us that when we receive Christ, we are born again and made a new child of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are becoming new. You see, the Christian has a testimony. He knows what has taken place. He knows that he's been saved. And he's able to tell others of the new life that he has in Christ. And yes, only the Spirit of God that raised up Christ from the dead, and that will raise every believer, dead or alive, one day at his coming, only he is able to take the sinner dead in his sins and loose him from his bondage to sin and cause him to grow in the Word of God, and is able to give him a vibrant testimony. Now, it's a mystery. We don't understand it all, but praise the Lord, it's true. And he will save you if you aren't saved today. He will save you if you will only place your trust in him. Years ago, there was a lady named Maddie Rice that lived in Chicago. And we are told that she was the most prayed for person on Skid Row. Her husband had disappeared, and she had a 3-year-old daughter named Doreen. And Maddie would take her daughter, Noreen, in the taverns and have Doreen sing in order that people would give her money, and she would use the money to drink. Well, this took place for a little while, and then welfare took Doreen away from her, and a fine family in Chicago adopted her. And so Maddie was all alone. Her husband was gone, now her daughter was gone, and she sank lower and lower, and she drank constantly in order to forget her misery. And she would beg for money, and she gave up her room and slept wherever she could. Well, one summer evening, she staggered into the Pacific Garden Mission, clutching her bottle of liquor close to her. And Mother Clark, who was the head of Pacific Garden Mission at that time, came to her and said, Maddie, I'm so glad you came tonight. You picked the right time to come and to give your heart to Jesus. Well, Maddie wanted to know if Mother Clark truly loved her. She was dirty, she was ragged, her hair was uncombed, and so she asked Mother Clark, will you kiss me? And Mother Clark said yes, and she kissed Maddie on the cheek. And with that, Maddie knew that she was truly loved, and she fell to her knees, and tears coming from her eyes, she poured out her heart and received Jesus as her Savior. And the burden of her heart rolled away. Maddie moved back to Kentucky, where she had grown up, and for 18 years until she died, she cared for underprivileged children, and she led scores of them to Jesus Christ and was used of God greatly in that ministry. In closing, I want to read a poem that was written. Before the tomb, Christ stood one day and dried the people's tears away, and he spoke forth in mighty voice that made Judea's hills rejoice. Come forth! Inside the tomb, Christ laid one morn. Defeated seems salvation's horn, but God the Father spoke the word, and this he said, though no man heard, come forth. Inside the tomb of sin I lay, the price of sin I had to pay, but Christ, the raiser of the dead, spoke to my poor bound soul and said, come forth. And when the great and final sound shall raise our loved ones from the ground, 'twill be the last time we shall hear that glorious sound upon our ear, come forth. Yes, this is Easter Day, the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I trust that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and not only have become a new creature, but are looking forward to the day when Christ shall resurrect you and take him home to be with yourself, that we may be with him forever and ever. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this day, the day that we celebrate Christ's resurrection. And Father, I thank you that we serve a living Savior, that he's saved us, and that one day he's going to take us home to be with himself. Thank you for that. And Father, if there's anybody that listens to this that he has never yet received Christ as their Savior, I pray that even yet today they will make that very important decision and become a child of God. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.